and we thank God for all of you being here. I want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here today. We appreciate your gift to the kingdom of God and what it means to the Lord and what God has for us. Amen. How many of you know he's been good to us? And he absolutely wants the best for our lives. And we're so grateful for that. So today we're going to continue in what we've been dealing with here concerning the Beatitudes. So we want to take some time to just reflect on this, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. I was compelled just a moment ago by the Spirit of the Lord concerning Isaiah 26. So if you would, just turn your Bibles there. There's no slide for it. But if you'll turn there, just as a reminder, because I'm going to get going in this, I don't want to forget to tell you. We're going to read a few verses there, but not right now. Isaiah 26, we'll be talking about that. But we're, again, dealing with these Beatitudes, understanding the words of Jesus and how important it is to look at all of these things. Now, we talked about how important these are and how this set, merciful, pure in heart, peacemaker, and those are persecuted. So today I'll focus on looking at these and how important they are. Now, this right here can't be accomplished by anyone here unless you've mastered these. So I don't want you to kid yourself. If you don't do these, you'll never attain to those, ever. Not the way Yahweh designed. Now, you can rewrite these. You can do them the way the world does them. But you won't do them the way God explains unless you do that, because you don't have what it takes. I don't have what it takes. To get to do these, it takes something very special. It takes some good, rooted relationship with God. Or you can't get there, because you don't make sense to man. Because this acting this way is things of God. It's the heart of God. Pastor Josh pointed this out last night. So you can't get there because they're produced by what you're rooted in. This is what you get rooted in. Now, I want you to think of these three right here, that they are so necessary, and you have to do one at a time, going from one to the other. There's no start. You don't start any way you want. You start here, go here, go here. And then here right here is critical, because this is where you finally see something come up. Like if you're a farmer, say you're a farmer, and it's time, so you got some planting to do. You're going to take the field, and you're going to have to prepare the field. I want you to see your life as a field that's unprepared. It might have stones in it. It might have trees growing in it, but you need it clear. So this is where this happens. You're going to have to clear up some things. And you get all the debris out and everything, and then you're planting. The seed is being sown. Here is where you see the first sprout, that you know that there's life from here, because this produces life. So you got to recognize that you're a dead seed. Dead seed, when you look at it, it's dry. It doesn't look like it's any life, but there's potential of life. He's trying to tell us we got potential. There's potential in life. Here, when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're going to see the beginnings of that life start. It's like when you go out. The other day I was at my dad's, and he told me, he said, come here, I'm going to show you something. And he has a bucket. And in that bucket, we had gotten some almond seeds. Wasn't it almond seeds? When we was on our trip, this past winter, we was on a trip, and there was some almond seeds. And so he brought one home. And he put it in that bucket, and it showed now. Now, first he had to it's a lot of trust. It's a lot of faith. You gotta believe that something can come out of something that's dead. It's a dried up seed. Don't look like a whole lot. But you take the dirt and you put it in there and you cover it up and you water it. And you got to let God do what God does. Right? This is letting God do what he does. He's being Yahweh. He's our heavenly Father. He knows how to take care of us better than we can take care of ourselves. He knows that. So let him do it. When we're doing it, what happens? It's broken. We need help. And so this is what he does. But then you go there and all of a sudden you see hope, because this is where it starts. But once that hope starts, this is the only way that you can get into this field right here, because this is the fruit. Well, I didn't know. That's more information than I need to know today. All I know, the seed got here. I don't know who done the smuggling of the seed, but it's here. And it's in the pot, and it's, something's happening. Now, it might be a dud. I don't know. We'll find out. So you can check this if this is working. How do you check if this is working? This is fruit. This is fruit. So the blossom, just imagine the whole plant. This is where the blossom comes out. It buds. It's blossom. You got the flower. All that happens. Once the flower falls, it's going to take faith, because it's pretty when it's in blossom. But all of a sudden, all your prettiness falls to the ground, and you're going, man, it's gone. But what's next? Once the blossom falls, fruit. Fruit. This is what we got to have, fruit in our life. And so it's going to be automatic. Nobody is born with this. You're not merciful. We might be nice people, but we don't know how to be merciful the way God has instructed us. We have to learn that through this process. And then we go to the next one, the pure in heart. Having a singleness, not double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We got to have one focus, and that's focus toward him. Pure in heart, that's how you get that. People say, well, how do you get along? Well, let me tell you, there's not one gets information and the other doesn't. There's no exclusion here. Let me just tell everybody, today we're going to set the record straight for everybody. There is no exclusion when it comes to God on how God operates in your life. The only exclusion there would be is because we won't pay attention to how serious this is. Because if you get no seed in the ground and you have no blossom in your life, don't kid yourself. You not have any fruit. You're just not going to. You want fruit in your life? God wants you to have fruit in your life. But it only comes by the steps we take. And let me tell you, the Master, Yeshua Messiah, the Master, he laid this thing out beautifully in the Beatitudes. Now, I don't know about you, but I think by now you have figured out that this Beatitude teaching is unlike anything I've ever heard in my life. This is information we need as believers. And you can't talk about what we didn't have last year, year before, or 10 years or 20 years ago. Listen, God set the scene now. Maybe now we're ready to get a hold to what it takes to be prepared for what's to come. That's important in our life. And so that's valuable. It's valuable that we grab hold to this. So remember, we get everything done here. The blossom comes out. It's not fruit yet until it hits here. These fruit. And then peacemakers and the persecuted. So I'm going to focus on this one right here today. We had these two last night. I'll reference them back and forth. And then we'll probably touch a little bit at the end of it on the persecutor, because once you've done everything you've done, and you're seeing these fruit, get ready, because this is the indicator that you're on the right track. What's going to happen? You'll be persecuted just the way it is. If you're not being persecuted, don't be happy that they're not picking on you. You got to go back and realize that if you don't have that happening, this probably is missing something, because that's exactly the result you get. That's what he said. And I'll show you, he mentioned it three times. He mentioned persecution. This is what Yeshua did, mentioned it three times. We're going to look at that together. So on verse 7, he said, blessed are the merciful, ring number 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What does that tell me? When I read this, that the merciful obtain mercy. Because what you did here is how you get fruit of mercy. You obtain mercy because there's been mercy seed that's been put in the ground, and it's all about sowing and reaping. And so you got to continue that. It's not, you don't stop. You continue doing that. all the time. Blessed are the merciful, those who know how to be merciful, because they obtain mercy. Not reading six. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. How many want to see him? How many want to see Elohim? How do you get there? Pure in heart. You got to have focus. Remember that. Very important. You can't be double-minded. You can't be between two opinions. None of that works with God. If a person says, well, I need to start going to church, well, you're going to have to start learning how to live the Christian life. And this is what this is about. Because Yeshua's on the mountain. He's telling, listen, I want everybody to come. I want everybody to be saved. And so you get that. You figured that part out. But how do you live the Christian life? How do you live it day in and day out? This is what he's telling us. He tells us exactly how to do that. Well, the results is we get to see Elohim. So he's telling us without pure in heart fruit, you're not going to see him. So it winds up, you've done some things, but at the end, it's a failure. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to do things and at the end be a failure. So we see that happening. Ring seven, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's what I'm going to focus on today. For they shall be called the children of Elohim. Now, listen, when the reward gets ready to be handed out, you want to be heir of that reward. You definitely want to do that. Well, if there's reward to be handed out, and he's going to call the names of the children that's up for that inheritance, the names of the children will be called up. So in regular life, you might have a family that they were part of a big family. Maybe that they had a family estate and they had plenty of money in the family estate. Well, the person dies. Now it's left to the family. How do we handle this? And usually there's a lawyer gets involved and he comes and he says, okay, there's this will. We're going to read the will. Well, he's not going to call like everybody. Why would he call everybody? The neighbor down the street ain't part of that family. Well, they live on the same street. Maybe they go to the same church. You get where I'm going? Only those heir get called. That's the only ones. You can be in the same church. One's going to be called and the other's going to be left. You can live on the same street. One will be called, the other left. How many understand that? There's a difference here that we need to make sure what side we're on. Well, let me just talk to you about this. Because when he calls the children, they're going to be heir. He's calling those who are peacemakers because they are the children of Elohim. Remember, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Elohim. And then finally, ring eight, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, one of the things I notice about all of these, since we started, the reward is absolutely fantastic. Every one of them's got, it's just amazing the gift you get for doing what God asks you to do. It's a reward. How many know when your children do something good, you want to reward them? And so that's important. And that's what he's doing. If we do it right, he's going to reward us. And I think that's a valuable lesson for us to understand. So let's focus on ring seven. And before I go on, I'm going to read Isaiah 26. As we were singing, this Lord brought this to my mind. I didn't put it in the slide. I don't know how you can even do this entire part today without reading this verse. In Isaiah 26, verse number 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will Elohim appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter. Think about that. What does he say? Open the gates. This is very important. That the righteous nation. What does he call them? A righteous nation. Very important. Which keepeth the what? The truth. How many know truth is important? Now, truth without keeping it is like not even having it. You got to keep the truth. So we get the truth. The difficult thing is not hearing the truth. Remember, the seed that goes out to sow the seed, and some received it with joy. It's not that it's difficult to hear it. The difficult part is, what do I do with it once I got it? Because once you got truth, it's not my responsibility anymore. It's your responsibility. Now, if the doctor comes to you and said, this is true, listen to me careful. If you keep doing this, you're going to die. When you, if you don't do anything about it and you die, can the family go to the doctor and say, why you didn't say anything? No, you do something about it. It's the truth. He told you the truth. This is what you need to do. You're not doing it. His hands are clean from that. We have a responsibility to take what we, the truth, and do something. So what's the reward? He's about to give a reward here. He said, open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Notice that. If you keep the truth, you get to do what? Enter in. I mean, thank God for that. Thou will keep him. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Isn't that amazing? I almost got this whole thing. I'm sitting there and said, Lord, is there anything that I might have forgot? And he said, you didn't put Isaiah. And I immediately grabbed my Bible and I said, how did I miss this? Very important. So listen, we might have quoted that verse. We didn't know its context, because we just quoted because somebody else quoted it. He'll keep his, you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. I heard that said many times. But the context is all about entering in. Very important. And it's amazing, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Elohim. How many know he wants his children to do what? Enter in. Come into the joys of the Lord. This is very valuable to our life. So let's look at this, Psalms 55. We'll go through that. If you have your Bibles, you want to go to Psalms 55, we're going to go through this. And I kept everything in context so we can get an understanding. Verse number one, give ear to my prayer, O Elohim, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Now, I want you to understand, David is up against something pretty tough here. And he's going to point out some things that's happening. And I'm going to point it out that's happening here in the church. I want you to understand that. You are my responsibility. And you're here. You're here today. The ones that aren't here, I can't speak to them. They can decide to get the tape and listen to it. It would be the same thing as the word of the Lord. I have a responsibility to make sure that whatever you come here for, that is met best of my ability. So you hear it clearly. You might have been praying, Lord, I need a word from you. I need to know what to do. I'm about to give you a word from the Lord. So you listen carefully what's about to be read. Give ear to my prayer, O Elohim. This is David speaking. And hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. This is hurting him. Because of the voice of my enemy. Why is he doing it? Because of the voice of my enemy. Now, I want you to think about this. If we got David mourning and making a complaint that he's making a noise. I mean, it's hurting him. And then we got enemy in the next verse. How many, everybody say no peace. What are we talking about? Peacemakers. How many know what peacemakers are anointed to do? They know how to make peace when there's no peace. How many understand that? How many want to be a peacemaker? I want to be a peacemaker. Because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Notice what he says. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terror of death are fallen upon me. I feel like I'm going to die. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away to be at rest. It doesn't sound like he's having one of his best days. I wish I had, if I had wings, I'd just fly away from this. It's stuff going on. It's more than I can handle. Lo, then, would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. Pause and think about that for a little bit. Have wings like a dove, I'd fly away. I would then wander off and remain in the wilderness. It's got to be pretty tough if the wilderness is a spot you'd rather be than the chaos that's going on. Now notice that. I want you to think about this today because this is important. And listen, my goal is to try to finish, but I have a responsibility to this church. And I want you to hear this very carefully, what I'm about to say, because it's going to give you the ability to bring your life, make a turn, or you're going to be in so much trouble, I can't even explain to you what you're about to face. Verse 8, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Yahweh, and divide their tongue. Notice what he's asking from Yahweh. Now he's talking about there, and there is not over there, it's there. He's talking about people. He's talking about people. I'm going to read it again. Destroy, O Yahweh, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. What did he see? Violence and strife in the city. That's what he's seen. Now, this is important to understand because if there's violence and strife, there is what? No peace. And we're commanded to be what? Peacemakers. Because they're the children of God. Think about that. Valuable for us to understand. Verse 10. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. So it's no ending. He said there's no even, when it's time to rest, there's no rest. It's day and night. That's what that's talking about. He said, day and night they go about upon the walls thereof. Why the walls? Because it's not behind the wall. It's on top of the wall. Because there's no way to get around it. And that's what we have a lot of times. You're exposed to it because it's done on the wall. Meaning that you're very much aware of what's going on. So you can't go to your house and close the door and say, it's not my responsibility. David knew that. And he says, they do it on the wall so all can see. What are they doing? What are they doing? Violence and strife. No peace. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. What are they doing? Mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it. Mischief and sorrow in the midst of it. I'm not reading anything about any peace yet. This is trouble. How many know that sometimes in life there's a lot of trouble? But watch this. Verse 11. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. When there's no peace, what comes with no peace? I'm reading you a list of stuff that comes with it. If you think it's going to get better, it doesn't get better. It's going to progressively get worse. Deceit, guile, depart not from her streets. It turns into all sorts of ugliness. And we wonder why is God saying, blessed, you know, he raises his son up. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. He said, it's just hard for me to do peace because you can't do it the way the world does it. You can't even access it without having this in your life. You can't bear fruit of a peacemaker if you've never sown the seed that produces that. So how do you sow that seed? First of all, you got to recognize when you stand in front of God, what good is there in your life? He says, when he searched, he said, there's none good, no, not one. Even Yeshua he had to go through this. He said, good master. He said, why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's the Father. We're talking about Yeshua said that. And we started in his words. And we think we don't have to be in humility and humble ourselves to this point. Let me tell you, there's no getting around it. So don't kid yourself. You won't have any of that fruit a year from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now. None of that's going to happen in your life until you go through these steps. Mourn over your sins. Get in the yoke and be okay with it. Quit resisting. These messages just, you think about them all the time. And listen, we didn't exhaust this. It took some time to do it. But I encourage you, go back and go back over them again, over and over. It'll help your life. Verse number 12, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Now notice this. I highlight this for a reason. Now it's very important for you to get this. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Not an enemy. How many want to have more peace in your family? How many want to have more peace in your town? More peace in the country? More peace in the world? More peace in your church? Notice what David said. It was not an enemy that reproached me. Because you would expect that from an enemy. That's just what you expect because they're not on your side. They're trying to hurt you. They're trying to defeat you because they're the enemy. But he's not dealing with the enemy here. Then I could have borne it. If it was the enemy, I could have dealt with it better. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. You know what that tells me, that line right there? People don't realize, sometimes we never realize how selfish we are. And we have to be careful because, you know, I'm going to read this line again to maybe to help you understand a little bit better. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. Because I, you know, we can divert the enemy. But, verse 13, it was thou, a man, my equal, my God, and mine acquaintance. He said it was somebody I looked up to. And somebody I went to church with. Wow. Think about that. What are we dealing with? Being a peacemaker. Being a peacemaker is very important. These are valuable places for our lives. Now listen, I want the truth because I know that's what's going to set me free. And I read Isaiah 26. I know that he's going to keep those in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on you. But if you go up the next verse, one of the things you got to do to enter in is you got to love the truth. You got to live the truth. You can't just hear it. You got to live it. It's just helping you. This is important to our life. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my God, and my acquaintance. Somebody I was following, somebody that I was equal to me. We got saved together, went to church together, worked together. Maybe we got married. Maybe we worked on the same job. Maybe we had children. All these things are what he's saying. David says, listen, here I am. I'm going along, and I would have never thought this, but we got this chaos being exposed on the wall. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of Elohim in company. I'm going to tell you what, I'm just going to talk to myself today. Because I know how important this is. I'm going to read it again. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of Elohim in company. Meaning we were members of the same church. We were members of the same family. We were members of the same town. We lived in the same town together. Went to the same school together, worked at the same job together. You understand? This is people that's acquainted with each other. We go to church on Sunday morning together. Are you a peacemaker? If not, then you're part of the chaos. And we've been commanded to be peacemakers. How do I get there? Well, you can't wake up one day and say, well, today, I'm going to be a peacemaker. It'll never happen. You're kidding yourself. You get there because you use momentum. You go from one to the other and you have momentum. Right here, I mean, the tree, you can tell because he gives an indicator that you're doing the right thing. He puts the tree in full blossom right here. By the time you swing over here, you start seeing that the blossom fell and you kind of get a little bit of discouragement because that's a long distance. But when the time you grab here, you realize there's the fruit. There it is. And you now know how to be merciful. Because when you're merciful, you shall obtain mercy. And then by the time you leave from merciful, this is a valuable one right here. This is so, so, and so important. Because you'll never be this without first getting your mind made up that your heart is for him and him only. Never have this happen ever in your life, because you got to be not, you can't be between two opinions. If it's Yahweh, then serve Yahweh. If Baal, serve Baal. Make it better for everybody. Don't be the person on the wall spreading your disease. Let me read. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick unto the grave. Notice what he said. Now, this is not easy to read. You know, you want to move on and say all the nice things, but let me just, I'm reading to you. I'm just reading the Bible today. He said, let death seize upon them and let them go down quick to the grave. I'm thinking maybe he had enough. For wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. What does he call it? The one who can't bring peace. Wickedness is in their belly. And let me tell you, you got to ask yourself, am I doing this? Am I the one causing the trouble in my family? Am I the one causing the trouble on my job? Am I the one causing the trouble at my church? Am I the one causing the trouble wherever it may be? Maybe it's at work. It could be wherever you work. It could be at school. It could be wherever it is. Am I the one causing the trouble in the family? Think about that. As for me, I will call upon Elohim, and Yahweh shall save me. Evening and morning at noon will I pray. Evening and morning and noon will I pray. Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I don't know if you notice this, but even in David's complaint, he's trying to show his humility and letting them know the only reason I'm succeeding or being the person to bring this up is because I've been through this often. I go through this often. Recognize that we got to fix things every day. There's no arrive. Nobody arrives here. We got to go through this on a daily basis. We're serving the Lord. We're trying to get there. We got to endure to the end. Verse 18, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, from where, for there were many with me. He had delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. El shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not Elohim. No changes. That's what I'm looking for. Changes. You can't keep doing this over and over again and not have some change. And think, I'm going to have this fruit. I'm going to have this. You're not going to have this. Ever. You got to have change. This is where the change happens, right here. What happened? You don't see a whole lot right here. But right here, you're getting it. I mean, you're being worked over. You don't want to do the happy dance right here. You're being worked over. Right here, you can't even lift your head up because you feel like, I can't believe I did this to me. I did it. Nobody, not my mom, my dad, my children, nobody, not the church, nobody did this to me but me. I sinned, and against thee have I sinned. Oh, I did this. And here, you're not happy being drug around and walk the line, toe the line, let's go. This is not happy time. But right here, This is where he gives you the indication that all you've just been through, I'm looking out for you. The flower comes out and you go, I got to be doing something right. But if you ain't seen no flowers in your life, you got to be kidding yourself that you're going to get some fruit in your life. That is crazy to me if you hadn't even seen the flowers yet. So you want to know why I camp right here? Because I want fruit in my life when the time comes. But you don't get that unless you've been through this many times in your life. It's not a happy time when you got to kneel down and say, God, I did this to me. I'm the reason it's delayed in my life. Because when you told me to do it, I didn't listen to you. You got to be your worst critic. And you must judge yourself rightly. You have to do that. I'm just here to remind us that we got to do it every day. Judge yourself right. Don't give yourself a free pass when you know it's not good for you. You can keep telling yourself, oh, I'm okay. You know, I'm okay. It don't matter what people think about me. I'm okay. Well, keep telling yourself that. The reality is you're not okay, especially if you had no flowers in your life in so long, you can't even, you don't even know when it's been. The tree's dormant. It's there. You know what? This scenario plays out. He comes out. He goes to the fig tree and says, well, I wish, you know, to get figs. Why? Because it was time for figs. Okay, I want some figs. I've got to have some figs. There's no figs. So what does he do? He cursed the tree. Come back out. The disciples look and says, man, you know, he said the tree would be cursed. Look at it. It's dead. Think about that. Because they have no change, therefore they fear not Elohim. Do you fear him? Do you fear Elohim? Do you fear him? Where you give him the respect he deserves. Because every one of us in here, he gave us a shot to have a different life than we chose for ourselves the first time. We didn't choose so well. And he gave us all a shot. And to me, that's something we ought to give him respect. He deserves the respect. Verse 20, he had put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He had broken his covenant. He had put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He had broken his covenant. And you know, we got broken covenants and it don't matter to people. Does it matter? It matter. It ought to matter. And especially after the Shavuot service, it ought to really matter. What'd you do this week? What was your posture? How'd you come before God? When you entered in, what did you do? Or did you go at all? Did you even talk to him? Did you spend any time? You didn't have 60 seconds, right? That kind of just approaches upon your time. 60 seconds. Did I do anything from Shavuot at all? Verse 21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. You see, you can have smooth as butter words, but in your heart is what God is looking at. But the war was in his heart. Does that sound like a peacemaker? It sounds like his words are peace. His words are peace. Smooth as butter, but inside it's at a war. How many want change in your life? You get some change, you listen to these things. His words were softer than oil, yet they drawn the sword. So you gotta be careful. A peacemaker don't do that. A peacemaker is not, yeah, good buddy, we're gonna make it. We're going to serve God together. And the whole time you got a sword out, and he's going to get you. Peacemaker don't do that. You got to mean what you say. A man in his home, if he's a peacemaker, he don't do that. His intent is not to hurt his own family. How many think that would be crazy, a man hurt his own family? Think about that. No woman wants to hurt their children, do they? I want you to think about that. Cast thy burden upon Yahweh, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Are you seeing this? But thou, Elohim, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. Half their days. But I will trust in thee. I'm telling you, people who do such things, they're subtracting half of their expected time that God has given them. Just subtract it from your life. Who wants to give up half your days that you're supposed to be alive? Anybody? Give up half your days. Nobody wants to do that. This is important to our life. But that's exactly what happens. You give that. So there's a call to peace. Let's go through this. The call to peace. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14. But the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. When I got to this part, I was like, okay, that's kind of strange that we're on this context. But let's see why. Because there's a reason for it. But the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean. How many know you don't want to have children that are unclean, unprotected? You don't want that. So he's given these instructions to the church at Corinth. He's saying, listen, the power of God is so incredible that the covenant is so closely tied that the unbelieving, I don't know if you notice this. I'm not sure if you're following this. The unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife, I'm emphasizing again, unbelieving wife, is sanctified by the husband, or else your children are unclean. But now, are they what? Holy. Wow, it's power there. There's some power there. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. And that's vice versa. Let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But Elohim had called us to do what? Peace. We've been called to peace. Very important. So I had to put that in this context so you understand it. If you belong to Yeshua Messiah, this is your calling, period. If you're here and you say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, you're called to peace. You have a responsibility. Now, folks can come alongside of you and help you with peace. If you need somebody to help you sort it out, some people can help you, but it's not their responsibility. They can, and God can send people to help you, but it's your responsibility. Yours alone, and you have a responsibility. If you're the reason somebody winds up not where God had expected for them. Again, he's going to hold a person that does whatever they do wrong, but you have to bear the consequence of your behavior. You got to be a peacemaker. If you're not, then you're part of chaos. And there's a consequence for that. Go to the grave and only have half of your days. Meaning there's something you lose, you miss out. You can't get the prize if you didn't win the race. How many understand that? I know in society today, everybody gets the prize. But that's not how God works. Elohim called you to contribute to peace of your family. Or you could ask yourself, am I contributing to peace in my family? If not, you're not a peacemaker. You want to learn how to be a peacemaker? Absolutely you can. You got to put seed to be peacemakers. Here's where I do the seed sowing. Right here. These three is where I do the seed. Hunger and thirsting for righteousness where it blooms. Not fruit yet, but it's in the process of becoming fruit. It's an indicator you did these three right. You corrected things in your life. But it takes a while. But you could do this in a single service. I want everybody to know that this process could be done in one single service. Don't say, it takes so long to go through it. We took long to explain it to you, but if you're serious with God, you can take yourself through this process in one single service. Because if it was length of time, we'd be buffeted by the enemy. Maybe next week it'll happen. This could happen quickly, but it's going to take some real serious commitment right here. And people who get committed right here, this is just wonderful. The rest is just wonderful. Elohim calls you to contribute to peace in your family. Picture your father, mother, brother, sister, son, or daughter. They are your family. Think about that. They're your family. Or you're a peacemaker in that group. You got to be. If you're a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, okay, let's just assume everybody in here is Christian. Everybody. And you don't produce these fruit. You know what God says? You're not a Christian. Don't kid yourself. You've been lying to yourself for too long. Not a Christian. But I go to church. Whoopee. What does that mean? Lots of people go to church. Do you understand? I need to have this fruit in my life because I'm not here to show you that I'm one. I'm here to make sure that Elohim is pleased with my life. And if he's pleased with my life, he's going to call me one of his children because that's what this gets. You're children of Elohim because you bring the peace where the chaos is. You're a peacemaker. So we have that direct responsibility. Ask yourself, the way I'm living right now, am I bringing peace to my family? If you're not, then you're in opposition of God. There's a couple things can happen to your life. Half your years will be subtracted. You go to the grave quickly. He just told us in Psalm 55, these are the things that happen. And these are people that you love, you hang out with every day. You came in one company to the house of Elohim. He said, we serve God together. He said, if it had been my enemy, I could have understood it, but it's not. We're fighting amongst ourselves. We've got to quit that. It's nonsense. They may love each other dearly. They may be at each other's throat. I don't know how that got in here. Did I pick the wrong note? They may love each other dearly. They may be at each other's throats. They may not be speaking to each other. Whatever it's like, Elohim calls you to contribute. To what? The best of your ability to be the peace of your family. That's what you got to contribute to. Well, you just don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't matter if I know. There's sometimes in life you go through things, but if you're a Christian, you're going to be a peacemaker. You're going to figure out whatever it needs to make sure that you're contributing to the wholesomeness of that family. Not blaming somebody. Let me tell you, the one who has blame in their mouth, on their tongue, the war is really in their own heart. It's their own heart. Whether it's dysfunctional or happy, you are called by Elohim to be the influencer toward making it better. So we don't like dysfunction. So what do you do with dysfunction? Well, if you're in a covenant, you fix it. You got to be an influencer of that. You say, well, that don't work. Well, didn't Yeshua influence the whole world? He influenced the world. Now, some of the world didn't receive it, but I received it. He influenced my life. It let me realize that I can't be my own person, and nor can I be a person who loves him and loves the world. I can't do that. I got to make my mind up what I'm going to do. And that's important. You follow me so far. How important this is to the church. Plan for peace. How many want to plan for peace? Maybe that's why there's no peace. We don't plan for it. Because we're on the edge anyway. We're always leaning, and our disposition is that the glass half empty instead of half full. If you're a glass a half empty person, you're not going to be one who promotes peace. Because everything that comes, you see it in its negative form first and never see its positive. What about it being half full? Both of the glasses got the same amount in it. Both of them have the same exact amount in it. What's your approach when you look at it? We're going to be peacemakers. Thank God we can learn this together. Amen? Plan for peace. Well, let's see how you plan. Proverbs 12:20 says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. But to the counselors of peace is joy. To the counselors of peace is joy. And so we're going to plan peace. We're going to look at that. Since this is the calling of Elohim, we should be intentional about pursuing it. Because why? He calls us to this. We should be intentional. Plan peace. Whether we don't have, whether we don't have it, as a Christian, we should be asking, what's the best way to get it? What's the best way to get it? Where do we have it when we should be, when should be asking, how can we protect it? How do we make sure we don't lose this peace? Let's answer a few of these questions. What is peace? In the Bible, the word shalom or peace is more than an absence of conflict. It's more than there's no conflict. Shalom is more than just an absence of conflict. It is an active enjoyment of all that is good. So you, peacemakers are not the person who just comes and says, okay, no more fighting. You become a participant and you're active in all that's good. You bring about a different array to the room, a different aroma to the room. So you're not just calming conflict down. You're giving reasons for joy. That's what you want. You want to be productive in that. And so as I think about what I said and what I do, I should be asking this question. What would promote peace? The problem with that statement there that I want to really point out is as I think about what I say and what I do, I don't think what I'm thinking here is that word thinking don't get thought about near enough. Sometimes we might just say and do without thinking. And if you say and do without thinking, that's a problem because you're not promoting peace. We need to think about what we're going to say. Should I say it? Now, you might have a legitimate reason to say it, and you can be completely true about what you say and right about what you're saying. But does it promote peace? Sometimes saying nothing promotes peace. In the home, very important. Sometimes taking a person to the side promotes peace rather than involving everybody else. You got to know when to do that, and God will help you understand that. Work for peace. We're going through this fairly quick. We got to work for peace because I got something I got to get to. Work for peace. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, here's a big one. It's going to be important. We're going to take you through 14 verses here, and I'm telling you this will help your life. So we're talking about working for peace. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, these are critical things that he's saying here, because the weight and the sin easily besets people. What does it beset you from? Figuring this out, going through this process. It's going to be very difficult if you're going through here and you're not letting God bail you out of all the weight and the sin right here. This is where all this happens. This is where all this happens. And you get over here to righteousness, hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you didn't let this play its role that it needed to play, and you got weight on your life. How many understand the more weight you got on you, the harder it is to hold on? If I bog you down with the weight, it's going to be hard to do what you're trained to do. Now, a while back, I had Eli and Isaac. Right. And I put them some backpacks on. Remember that? And well, one of them had a backpack, I think. And I had some bricks in it. We just added some of the troubles that we don't get rid of right here. And Eli's pretty fast. Like, phew. And Isaac, he's getting fast. All right. He's on his way. He's in process. Okay. I'm just sharing the memories of the story. Okay. And so I put him on a start line, and I gave Isaac an advantage. How did I give him an advantage? Did I give him a speed pill? I didn't do anything. I slowed his opponent down. Right? You know, if you're in the woods and the bear comes, they tell this story all the time to me. And the bear comes and it's two of you. You don't have to outrun the bear. You just got to outrun the guy next to you. And you win. Do you get that one? All right, I just want to make sure. Right? You ain't got to beat the bear, but you got to beat that next guy. So anyway, I told him to go. Well, by the time I loaded Eli, it's more than he can go. I think he almost beat him still, but I think you got him. Did you get him? All right, you won. So what was I talking about? I was talking about these verses here. It's been a while. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin. That somebody plowed this field for us. Somebody went through a lot of stuff to get us to this process. And here, Yeshua comes along, and it's called a new covenant. It's a better covenant. And he says, we compassed about with so great a cloud, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking into Yeshua, the author of this message here, looking into Yeshua, the author and finisher, not just the author, but the what? Finisher of our faith. If we listen to him, we're going to finish this race. Everybody here, you're going to make it. If you don't listen, you're not going to make it. It's clear. So I don't want it said that you stand before God and say, you know, Pastor, he held back because it was family. He held back because he knew us. He held back. He didn't really tell us this. We probably should have knew this. I'm telling you. You're not going to make it if you and I don't get this together. Looking into Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake or the cross, endured it. What it was set before him? The joy. He was waiting for what? The outcome. Yeshua. What's going to happen in his life? He's going to be raised far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, every name that's named. There's nobody going to be above him. He gave him all authority. Isn't that amazing? That's joy. The prize. So every one of these have a prize to it, right? He had a prize. We got a prize. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Every one of them have a prize to it. Even down over here to the peacemaker has a prize. These are the children of Elohim. Remember I talked about heirship. If your name's on the list, there you go. We've got to keep our name on the list. So he says this. Looking into Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. That's the prize. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. If you don't take into consideration what Yeshua went through to put us through this, nothing I can tell you today. I'm just kind of reminding you of that, but it's going in one ear out the other. If you don't take into consideration what Yeshua paid for, that's the thing that propels you and pushes you to want to do right. Because you got a heart. If you got a heart and you care about anything, you care that his suffering can't be for nothing. Why would anybody here want to see Christ crucified and beaten the way he was for no reason? I mean, that's pretty bad person that thinks that don't matter. It does matter. And if the Father gets a hint that's your attitude, it's going to be a tough day for you. It's going to be real tough because his wrath will come against you and you haven't seen any horribleness until the wrath of God comes against you. So he says, despise the shame, sat down the right hand, for consider him that endured contradictions, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. And that's what happens to people. They get weary and faint in their minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You don't really get it. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. What do you call peacemakers? Children of Elohim. My son, despise not the chastening of Yahweh, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Don't despise the chastening of Yahweh. Sometimes I get this kind of feeling. You know, we can't get a break with Pastor. I mean, every service he's on our case. That's how I get that feeling. I do. But let me just tell you, I'm going to read this to you again. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. What is the ones that are children? What does he do to his children? He chastens those he loves. My son, what does he call him? My son. Despise not the chastening of Yahweh, nor faint when thou rebuked of him. For whom Yahweh loveth, he chasteneth and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. My prayer is that I'm speaking to God's children here, or definitely we have the potential to be sons and daughters. And sons and daughters, we don't want you at all to be sidetracked by a lie from the enemy. So you may not take it that way, but I'm loving you. I'm caring for you. I'm letting you know that God wants us to make sure we check everything and not let something go by. Check it all. If you endure chastening, that's the part. That's a tough one. Endure chastening? It's a tough one. Elohim dealeth with you as with sons. That's what he does, his sons. Look at the chastening Yeshua had to endure. It's one thing to get rebuked for being bad and being chastened because you did something wrong. Couldn't you imagine the chastisement that was on Yeshua and he didn't do a thing wrong? That was a tough day for him. But this was his mindset. If my father sees that that's what I need, regardless if I don't think I did anything to deserve it, I gave my life to him. He can do with my life whatever he pleased. And what he pleased to do, this is what the word said, what he pleased to do with Yeshua's life is give his life for the rest of the world. If you can't see love in that, I don't know what else to tell you. And so you think maybe we might have to suffer some, get a spanking every now and then? Not because he hates us. He loves you. He loves me. And let me tell you, it's not easy to do it. It's not easy to be up here. Let somebody else do it. But this is the job. This is what the Lord has called me to do. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to be on my watch and stand before him. And I didn't tell Faith Temple because we got too familiar with each other. I'm telling you, you can't behave in a way that's uncommon the way he described in Scripture. And that's going to be all right. It's not going to happen. It don't matter if we've been here for years. We have come in. We have come in this place. All together, we've done all this stuff. And he said, Lord, if it had been my enemy, I could have dealt with it. Yet it was one of mine. That's what David said. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? What's the goal? Peacemakers become what? They're the children of God. I'm just reading to you the context here. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye illegitimate sons. You're illegitimate and not sons. Listen, I don't know if you understand what illegitimate is, but he's talking about you're not sons. If there's no chastisement, if there's no correction, then you are not sons. I'm not making this up. That's what it says. So if I tell you, you won't make it because you got to be children or heir. His children will get that. How many, listen, if the correction's what, I'd rather him be wailing on me and me taking it, knowing that there's no reason he would do it without a reason or cause, and I enter in being wailed on, rather than just said, you know what, I'm so good right now. Man, I got the anointing on my life so much right now, ain't nothing hurt me. I'm it. And the whole time, there was a war going on in my heart. That's not a good place to be because you're lying to yourself, kidding yourself, a war going on. Be a peacemaker. We don't want to be illegitimate sons because illegitimate sons, he tells us what it is, not a son. If you're not a son, then I'm going to ask this question, are you heir to the throne? No, not heir. You might know a family that they had millions and they were going to read it. Your neighbors, you went to the same church, sat on the same row. And they're going to say, man, they're reading the inheritance. We're all going to get several million. You can't. Well, can I come? They're going to look at the paper. You're not a son. I want to go in the kingdom of God. I want to live forever and ever. Can I go? Well, let me say, you know what? We were taking names the whole time. Let me see. You're not on the list. How do you get on the list? Well, let me give you. Maybe we've been going through this for nothing. I don't know. You get on the list this way. I'm not on the list, Lord. That's why I'm begging to be on the list. I'm not on the list. I need to admit that. But the problem is the world bought in that somehow, no matter what you do, y'all go to heaven. Somehow, you got this innately, you've been given this immortal soul. Innately. You're born with it. What's the point if you're born with something that never dies to go through this process? You got to first recognize right here, I'm not on the list. I want to be on the list. He starts to welcome you. You're starting to figure it out now. God is the only goodness in my life is God. The only good part in my life is Him. I mourn now for what I did. Don't bring in 12, 13 people or your husband or your wife or your children or your family. My mama left me, my daddy left me. Don't bring all the excuses. Right here is not about excuses. Right here is I mourn for what I did. I did wrong. I sinned. You know, David couldn't bring in, she was fine. I wouldn't have looked, but she was so fine, I couldn't help myself. You know what he said? I have sinned, and I have sinned only. I did this. I'm wrong. I did it. I broke my covenant with you. Mourn over your sin. And here, obviously, we don't know what we're doing because we had our own yoke here. We roam free. We run wild. We did everything we went. Here, you got to get in the yoke with Yeshua, and he's going to lead you and guide you by the Spirit to do the right thing. How many get my point? We can get there. It's up to us. If ye endure chastening, Elohim dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, therefore all are partakers. Then are you illegitimate sons and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subjected unto the Father of spirits and live? There's respect today's Father's Day. And there was things said that people respect their fathers. You know, you may not like what they tell you to do, but you're doing it because you give them respect. Shall we not respect the Father of spirits and live? Think about that. Shall we not respect our Father? I think we should. Very important. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. What is all this for anyway? What is it for? Because at the end, persecuted for righteousness' sake, he's going to clothe you back in his glory. Should we not endure that persecution? Should we not endure the chastisement? He is so amazing. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, right? Ain't no kidding there. I think we've all experienced that. When you get in the spanking, you want the spanking to end. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Sometimes that's the only way we get it. We go through that process. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So some people here, you got a crippling situation on your hands. It's crippling your life. It's crippling the vision. It's crippling everything that's happened and what God's plan for your life is. He said, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. turned out of the way. You don't want to be turned out of the way. You don't want to be, okay, you want to go that direction, go on, and you limp off in the direction of your own choosing. But he said, if you make straight paths for your feet, if you get some, make a straight path for your feet, starts over here, make some good decisions, he says, and instead of being turned out of the way, let it rather, what he would rather, heal you and not see you limping around in life. What are we dealing with? We're still talking about being a peacemaker. See, peacemaker is not just, oh, well, yep, I'm the only peaceful one in my house. Smooth words. But on the inside, there's a war. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Two things. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see Yahweh. Oh, I highlighted that for a reason. So what am I underlining now? What am I going to underline? Peace with all men and holiness. Because those two, you got to have them or you don't see Yahweh. Are y'all hearing this? Without which you won't see Yahweh. But I'm saved. Without which you won't see Yahweh. But I go to church. Without which you won't see Yahweh. But I'm in the Morris family. Without which you won't see Yahweh. Do you understand? That all those things are not qualified. You can't have your own qualifications. We don't get our own qualifications. Listen, I'm a qualify. You know, you want to make your own qualification on what you think's right. You don't get that. You want to see Yahweh? Follow peace with all men and holiness. He said, don't forget. You know why I use holiness there? Because holiness is the result of accomplishing everything on this board. That's why I use that. So he's just used. So follow peace with all men because you got to have peace, no chaos. And he throws and holiness because that's a result of everything up here. It's a result of that holiness. You live a different life. Peacemakers don't stop with plans; they plan the work. Peacemakers don't stop with plans; they plan the work and they work the plan. Because we have a lot of that. We have people who don't mind plans, but they don't work the plans. See, I don't mind. I always tell my gang, I don't need another idea. I got a bag of them. I got a bag of my own, and I ain't near done. So don't give me another idea. What I want is people who's willing to start helping what we already said we would do. You ask them if I don't say it just that away. Don't give me no more ideas. I got a whole pot full of ideas. Why don't we finish the ones the last time we gave our list of ideas? So let me read it again. Peacemakers don't stop with plans. Well, yeah, I got all the drawings done for you, Lee. I hope you can do it. It's nice to pass the plans on to people, but that's not that's not solving anything. That's creating more trouble. But I like this. They plan the work and they work the plan. If you're going to plan it, everybody wants to be in the meeting that starts the plan. But when you got to go outside and leave the air conditioning behind and grab a shovel or pick, where's everybody? You see, work the plan. If you're going to plan, work the plan. Yeah, we're going to all show up and do this. Yeah, why don't we do this? Okay. We're all happy for that. When somebody makes it, that's great. But when the day comes, where are you? This is what he's telling us. Peacemakers do that. Because they know they got a job. The word strive indicates effort, hard work, and perseverance. What are you doing? Strive for peace. How do we get peace? Anybody want to know how to get peace? If not, I'm stopping right here. Because I done said a lot. How many want to know how to get peace? James chapter 3. James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. Be careful for what job you want. Because if anybody wants mine, I'm giving it. Brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. Wow. Okay. If any man offend, not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. It's just what happens. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouth that we may that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, a rudder, whethersoever the governor listeneth, wherever he desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Right? Just a little fire. That's why we hear them stories of the wildfires. The guy's out there and he's just got a match. And he lit a little fire to keep himself warm. And before he knew it, he set the whole forest on fire. Because it didn't take... You didn't start with a forest fire, you started with a little. He said, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The what? The tongue. Yeah, you see the things you said. So everything you say, it don't matter. It matters one day. It might have not mattered today. You might have thought you got away with it, but it matters one day what you say. It does matter. You know, folks going around and say, well, I made my mind up. I'm serving God. That's it. I'm going to serve God. And they want everybody to know they're going to serve God. Okay. That's fine. Maybe you're right here. I'm in a yoke. He can bring me wherever he wants. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Lord, I'm on fire. Woo! About 2 months later, the tree ain't got no blossoms. The devil done come against them and beat them pretty bad. I was just going to ask you this question. Do you think they ever get over there? Not going to happen. They stay stuck right here. And they're hanging on with all their might. The best thing to do is just let go. And go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's a tough spot. You know why? We get so hard-hearted, we don't even want to say I'm sorry. We can't even say we're sorry. Remember, you got you where. Nobody put you where you are. You put yourself there. We got to admit we're wrong and say, I've said I'm sorry. I don't know how many times. I had to say it this morning. This morning before I got up, I was standing right there and I went, because I was singing and my mind was somewhere else. Now, you didn't know that and I don't have to tell you, but I know it. I know what I did. And my mind was somewhere. I said, Lord, you know, this is crazy. Here I am. I'm singing a song, but my mind's not even in it. That's not right for me to be that away. Why would I do that? And I'm asking, I'm about to get up and preach. So I'm asking you, Lord, forgive me. And I realize that's not good. I ought to have more control over my mind. Why would I do that? Now, I didn't have to tell you that. That's just something I personally went through. But to me, it means something. To me, I shouldn't let me get by with that. Why would I? It's not right. We got to be in the presence of God, and we ought to make sure that we keep our mind there. The tongue is a fire world of iniquity, and so the tongue among other members, that it defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, it is set on fire of Gehenna. So he's telling us how important it is. For every kind of beast and bird and serpent of things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. So he's telling us, if you think you can tame it, you're wasting your time. Therewith blessed we Elohim, even the Father. Therewith cursed we men, which are made after the similitude of Elohim. So we say things with our mouth. I bless the Lord. I bless the Lord. You're no good. You use the same tongue to do two things. And guess who you called no good? A person made after the similitude of Elohim, the one he created. Is it me? Is my right to judge him? I can't do that. I gotta suppose the best out of everyone. And what am I looking for? There's only one thing I'm looking for: fruit. Because it's my indicator that I don't need to be talking to you no more about what you need to do in your life. You're doing it. So then, therefore, you step into the role, which goes right after we do persecution. First, we got 10, 11, 12. Those three verses. What's the next verse? You are the salt of the earth. He tells us our role. You're the light of the world. It's fantastic. It's absolutely amazing. So we bless Elohim and the Father, and with the one we curse men. Who's made after the similitude. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. The same mouth. My brethren, these things ought not to be, ought not so to be. You shouldn't be doing them. Right? If I'm doing it, should I be doing it? He said not to. Well, you shouldn't be doing it. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Out the same fountain. He's asking this question. Can fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Fig tree. Dad, you got fig trees. He didn't go out there and get olives off the fig tree. He got olive tree too. Where does he go for olives? The olive tree. Where do you go for fig? To the fig tree. But he's asking this question. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. It can't happen. So if you got somebody spewing out salt water, yeah, but they're talking about how fresh the anointing's on me. I got fresh anointing. Okay, you got fresh anointing, but why do you spew out this stuff? Do you hear yourself even? It's crazy. Don't talk about how much anointing you got. You're gifted all this thing. Listen, let me talk about gifts. Whether you're doing right or not, gifts work. That's what they call gifts. So when you possess it, it's a gift to you. So the one who gave the gift, he don't take ownership of that no more. It's in your hands. What you do with it, it's your responsibility. Yours. You're going to be judged on what you did with the gift. How did you treat it? Did it mean anything to your life? Very important. They're without what? The gifts and callings are without no repentance. You're responsible. Do good by that. So you can't, gifts are not an indicator that you're in the right lane, doing the right thing. What indicates? Fruit. Not gifts. The anointing on listen, you can't go off there and well, pastor's anointed a priest. What does that mean? I could be anointed a priest, but that's not the indicator that I'm looking for. I don't go home feeling good. I laid it out today. I want to make sure that I'm acting right toward my wife. I'm doing right toward my neighbor. I'm treating the people I work around right. Am I doing the right? I meet people new all the time. Every week I meet somebody new. What do they see in my life? They're not going to see the anointing. They're not going to see that. So don't use that. That's not it. Listen, does a fountain send forth at the same sweet water or bitter? And he talks about this. Salt, does it yield salt water or fresh? Who is a wise man and doeth knowledge among you? That's a great question. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. So we ought to be able to have a good conversation. We're showing out with people. You might be talking to somebody over here, but people hear everything you say. What is your disposition when they're not in the conversation directly, but indirectly they hear you conversing with somebody? What should be spewing out of us? A wise man? Who is a wise man and endureth knowledge among you? Then he tells us, let him show out a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. That very important meekness, because your words are being authorized by the yoke that you're in. If Yeshua is not authorizing those words, then we probably don't need to be saying it. Amen? But if ye have a bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Remember we talked about at the beginning what was going on, strife on the wall? He's talking about bitter and envy and strife in the hearts. He said, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't lie to yourself, because the truth is the word of God. And the truth is spoken, you're going to feel a certain sensation come over you. The moment it is. That's why, you know, they take these lie detector tests. You trick the test because you can know how to calm yourself down. You could do that. But here's what happens. Before they learn to trick the test, when you'd ask somebody something that you know they did, but they're trying to lie to you, what happens to the heart rate? It elevates. But then you can get so used to saying it that you can tell a lie and be calm about it. That's a dangerous spot. That's why when the word's sent forth, you don't feel any conviction in the service. To you, it don't matter. Matter of fact, hey, when is this over? I'm ready to go. Well, you hadn't been here anyway. You hadn't been here. If that's your attitude, you hadn't been here. So you understand what my point is. But the word goes forth, it brings conviction to my life. And I feel that, that's a good place to be. Because you got feeling. The Bible talks about getting past feeling, meaning you don't feel it anymore. We don't ever want to be there. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. That's what he says. Devilish. I don't want to have them characteristics. That's not good. But is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Oh, first what? Somebody better help me here. I'm about to take off. First, pure in heart, because you'll never have this fruit until you get your mind made up that it's Yahweh and Him only. I'm not betwixt between two. I got one thing on my mind, that's to serve Yahweh, pure in heart. When Brother Josh hit that point last night, I said, I'm about to take off. Because I was thinking about that, because he says it. So it's, and listen, he just said, but the wisdom that is from above is first. The order never is no, he didn't skip the order. It's first pure. Because you can't get to this without swinging from pure in heart to grab this. You can't get there. You can't be a peacemaker as much as you want to because you're double-minded. How can a, if your person has, want to be, make peace with somebody, you want to help a family, but you're double-minded, how are you going to help them get pure in heart? Does that help anybody? Boy, it helped me. Then peaceable. First what? Pure. Then peaceable. Gentle and easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruit without partiality and without hypocrisy. So important. The fruit of the righteous is sown in what? Peace. Fruit of the righteous sown in peace of them that make peace. From whence come war and fighting among you? Now, I went on because there's no break in scripture. They just put it there for our finding. You really should have kept reading. From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence of your own lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill. That word kill is murder. Ye murder and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. And he tells us who these people are. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Because if it's all about you, remember I talk about being selfish. If it's just about you, what's going on in your life, you're an adulterer or an adulteress. Because you're satisfying your own lust, your own appetite, over what God's purpose and plan for your life is. I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. Is it to hurt you? Is it to cause you to be poor and in poverty? Is that what he's trying to do? No, it's about a hope and a future. It's about an expected end. He's got great plans for your life. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with Elohim? Friendship of the world is enmity with Elohim. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of Elohim. I like James because he's just point to the point. He's a pastor. He just gets to the point. You're going to be the friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. All right, thank you. Be dismissed. I'm not going to even read on because I can't. I'm done. But that's just his position. So we'll wait and do next week. So did everybody get some of that? Take what you got. It'll help you. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. You'll never be the same. So my goal is today is just to stir our life up. Get our attention. Let's see it for what it is. Let's not kid ourselves. God wants the amazing stuff for your life. He does. He wants to bless everything you put your hands to. But we got to make these corrections. And it's okay. You say, well, I don't want it to set me back. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. There's nothing sets you back. You could be a setback. Can you get set back more than you set back? It's the question you have to have. We're not set back. You can accomplish everything in a single day, in a single service. If you really mean it in your heart, that can happen. You could do it at your house, in your living room. You could do it in your bed. And you could do it wherever you want, but you got to go through it. You can't just like, okay, Lord, I've decided we're good. It's got to mean something to you. You remember that? He said, be careful how smooth you work the words, because inside is a war going on. There's a real fight for your life. And the devil, all he wants is to destroy your life. But Yeshua said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How many want to get on the abundant life? That abundant life is not just abundant life for something later in your future, but it's for right now. Because how can you be a light if it's put under a bushel? You don't want it to be hid, but it's to be set on a hill. It's to be set out in the opening so people can see it. So your life, does God want to put it on display? He does. But can he put you in the public? Can he put you in the public the way your life is now? Can he use you as an example the way your fruit is now? He wants to put you out there. He wants to expose you. He really does. He does want to expose you. But it's up to you and I to be in that position. Think about it. When the moment he knows he can, he'll put you out there. And he'll let you shine. And he'll give brightness to that light. That's what he wants. So today, we have a decision to make. Am I a peacemaker? Am I one that's leaning toward peace? In my family, in my town, in the political arena, in the world, in the arena all around, wherever I am. Because you're going to have opportunities going to come by. What's your position? Not an answer is not an answer. Especially in the church. We're going to be an example. Think about it, fathers. We got our men's group. We got our men's group. We got a list. We got some guys on that list. We even put guys we ain't seen in a while. We consider them a part of our group. Are we going after them with everything that's in us? We're going to call them. We're going to find out. You know, but we're going to be honest and be frank. Why are we doing that? Because we love God and we love God's people. That's why. But there's got to be a decision time in your life that you're willing to have accountability. You're willing to do that. You won't be easily offended if somebody checks on you. You say, well, I'd like to be, instead of being checked on, I'd like to be somebody who I could check on. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. But you can't check on anybody if you got no fruit in your life. Because you got to be an example to them. The unbelieving need help. But the believer is sanctification to the unbeliever. I just read that to you. But do we take that serious? If you are having the same struggle as the unbeliever, it's no wonder you're not getting anywhere. You can't have their same struggles. So I just need to get down where they you know, that I'm like a real person. You could be real. Who was more real than Yeshua? He was real. He was down right. He got right down. Matter of fact, one time he got in the dirt. And he got up and he said, where are your accusers? Lord, I have none. Well, go and sin no more. Don't keep doing what you've been doing. You see, we don't want to talk about that part. He's so nice to that lady. He told her, don't do what you just got caught doing. He didn't say that she didn't do it. Just because her accusers left don't mean she wasn't guilty. But he was showing you forgiveness. Though your sins be as scarlet, you'll be made white as snow. I don't know about you, but that ought to move you. He done something for me. And I'm going to represent him. I want to represent him best I can. Look, again, we're all a work in progress. Every one of us. We're trying to get to the spot he wants us to be. That's our goal. Our goal is that we need to have that type of fruit operating in our life every day. We can't get there unless we take this journey. So let's stand together.